Whether this is her first Mother's Day or her 40th, she deserves more. Shop tons of stunning on-trend jewelry for every budget at Diamonds Direct. Diamond fashion jewelry, beautiful birthstones, everyday pearls, starting at just $200. Commemorate the real loves of her life with a gorgeous pendant featuring the birthstone of the one who made her mom. This Mother's Day, Diamonds Direct is everything you need to say thank you. Diamonds Direct, your love, our passion. Online at DiamondsDirect.com.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 101, episode 1 of Der Daily Zeitgeist, a production of iHeartRadio. This is a podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness and say, officially, off the top, fuck Coke Industries and fuck Fox News.
Fuck them.
It's Monday, September 23rd, 2019. My name is Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. His takes are on fire. His name is O'Brien. He doesn't know what to do with his hands. He's got them in the back pockets of his pants. A little Lana Del Rey for that ass. And I'm thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Ray.
Lately, there seems to be some insecurities about the vacay I took in Italy. But I know it's with you. No one can take away my tuskegee. You. Never to be mistaken. Long as this takes, I'm making. There's gonna be some Jack, gonna beat the pack. But as long as I know, your time will show. Our pod will grow. And I know Miles will be right here. Be right here.
Okay, I'm just stopping it right there because it's too much. And I'm not getting a check. I should have been in Sisters with Voices, a.k.a. SWV, but I was too old. And also, thank you so much. I already shouted you out last week, but Ross and Andy in the Morning, at Ross X Andy, for that SWV.
Ross and Andy in the Morning.
I don't know how you did it.
Are they a radio show?
Don't know, but literally, I'm not taking a shot at you. It looks like two Muppets.
Wow.
Is their avatar.
Yeah.
It's two Muppets as their avatar. I'm not calling y'all Muppets
in the UK
sense. No, definitely
not taking a shot at them.
Nah.
Just saying they look like Muppets.
Shout out to Muppets, though.
Well, we are thrilled to be joined in our third seat by the hilarious writer, Dana Donnelly.
Hello.
Welcome.
What's going on?
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, we're excited to have you. We're huge fans of your writing.
You're tweeting, yeah. I feel like regularly when we call out our tweets, it's probably one of your tweets every other day.
Yeah.
That's amazing. And I'm so happy to hear that.
And I think one episode Steve Hernandez was on, and I was, one of my tweets was a tweet that you wrote, and he was like, oh, you got to get Dana. And I was like, you know her? And he's like, yeah, she's around. I'm like, where did this person come from?
Hell yeah.
And behold, you have manifested here.
That's so funny.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So welcome.
Thank you.
Well, we're going to get to know you a little bit better in a moment. First, we're going to tell our listeners a few of the things we're talking about today. We're going to talk about the climate strike at the end of last week. We're going to talk what we know at this early stage. You might know more, but we're going to just evaluate what we know of the Trump whistleblower story. I think the Havana mystery has...
been solved?
Maybe. It might have been solved. It's the best theory I've heard so far.
You can finally go to sleep at night.
We're going to issue a correction. Millennials are not growing horns on the backs of their heads. I know.
Off top, also another correction right now. Shout out to all the LDS Mormon Zeitgang members who corrected me on the nomenclature of non-pumping penetrative sex that Mormon kids have. It's not called floating. It's called soaking.
I mean,
which sounds fucking worse.
Yeah, way worse.
Or docking, whatever. But yo, thank you. I'm really surprised at the amount of people in my mentions are like, it's actually called soaking.
Soaking has like a old man getting in a tub, like housework vibe to it. I don't like it. Floating is much better.
Anyway. Yeah. Floating's more whimsical.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean? It makes sense when you're trying to convince yourself you're not having sex, therefore disappointing God.
No, just floating.
We're just floating in God's love.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
We're going to talk about caffeinated yogurt. We're going to talk about some early picks for Miles's Halloween costume.
Yep.
We're going to talk about Tekashi 6ix9ine. He's doubling down on being the most marked for death human on the planet. The weird politics of the Rambo franchise. Apparently the newest Rambo is just all sorts of problematic.
I mean, we knew from that trailer, though.
Yeah. I didn't realize that it was set on the border and that it was...
Right.
I thought it was actually set in like a South American country or something, but no, it's...
We're going to have to go see it. That's really the bottom line.
We really do need to go see it. The last one was just like laugh out loud.
Wanton violence.
Yeah, laugh out loud violence is not a thing that I knew existed prior to that movie.
Well, like early Robert Rodriguez films are like that.
Yeah. We're going to talk about Instagram too. But first, Dana, we like to ask our guests, what is something from your search history that's revealing about who you are?
Okay, so first of all, I realized that I've had my iPhone on private browsing since, like, when I was told to look at my search history.
Right.
But when I turned off private browsing, the last thing I had searched was what Imagine Dragons is an anagram for. because apparently there's like some like big mythology behind it.
Oh, really?
Well, no, most people think it's bullshit.
Yeah.
Can you swear?
Yeah. Well, only when we talk about Imagine Dragons.
Yeah. Like most people think it's bullshit, but apparently there's like a million different, like they claim that there's an anagram that they will never tell what it is.
Really?
Yeah. And then the only, like everyone's like, maybe it's like agonizing dreams, but.
Is that what, wait.
That's like the top.
Where's the Z in Imagine Dragons?
Oh.
I guess it's spelled in like the English way with an S.
Is it spelled with a Z?
I don't know.
Is dragons
honestly,
pluralized with
the
a
Reddit
Z?
Thread is really confusing.
Huh. What did you find? Was there anything that was funny? Because we like anagrams around here.
Yeah, we do.
Honestly, not really. mostly it's just like there's like this Rolling Stone article that's like there's no meaning to it.
I mean, but. I guess even they need to do that because there's nothing deep about their band
at
all.
So they're Money Rock.
Which y'all, Money Rock.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm Money Rock on any block. I feel like then they need to be like, it's actually way deeper. Like,
right.
It's not just merely imagining dragons. It's actually, there's a whole other world
it's
and,
a
like,
great
consciousness
way,
we're tapping into.
It's a great way to excuse your shitty band name is to just be like, it's actually an anagram for something else.
Yeah. Well, and it's the one everyone jokes about of just literally just saying like,
imagine
dragons.
Yeah.
Like seriously.
No, but imagine. Guys, seriously. Imagine.
I think it's like a Billy Wayne tweet that I was thinking of.
What is something you think is overrated?
Overrated, I think coffee tasting good is overrated to me. I don't drink coffee for it to taste good, and I've never like tried to make my coffee taste good.
Which, purely for, it's a caffeine delivery mechanism.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You should try this.
What it, oh,
doesn't taste
that?
Good at all.
See, Kirkland Cold Brew. I kind of like when coffee doesn't taste good. I'm like, I know it's working.
Then buckle up. This tastes, I mean, look, I'm not really a taste person either because I don't drink caffeine, or I only drink it for the caffeine.
Yeah.
So when I've been to places where, like, I was in Japan and I went to like a coffee spot where it was like this very mythical bean from wherever,
right?
And like, I was going to be like, oh, do you have like cream? They're like, oh, we don't have cream here. And I was like, all right, fool, whatever. Like, motherfucker, I paid $7 for this little fucking cup of coffee. Give me my fucking cream.
I mean, that's apparently like in Japan, you're not supposed to like put your fish in soy sauce or they'll give you worse fish or something.
Oh, really?
Yeah. What do you mean?
Because it's like insulting.
Well, it depends. I mean, if you're dipping it correctly for your sushi, maybe. One thing you don't do is don't put fucking soy sauce on your rice. Okay, we'll get your shit canceled.
All I can think about is that, do you guys watch Billions?
No.
No. There's just this episode where one of the characters is in this like really like high-end sushi restaurant, because Brian Koppelman or whatever is like really into food.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
And there's this like whole like lesson on how to eat sushi or not eat sushi.
Oh, right. Well, yeah, people are very, very particular. It's like, well, you gotta lay it on. Yeah. Don't just dunk the rice in it.
Right.
Get a little bit on the fish. It's not meant to taste like soy sauce. It's merely meant to enhance the flavor of the fish and the texture.
But then why does the most high-end sushi place, Sugarfish, have soy sauce on the rice?
It's for white people.
Well, no, they do. Well, they
Sugarfish? It's for white people.
Yeah, that's as high class as it gets.
It's like a fast food restaurant for agents.
Right.
That's what Sugarfish is. What the vibe is in there.
Right. what is something you think is underrated?
Underrated, I think Cold Stone Creamery and Baskin Robbins, like the old school in quotes ice cream places. Like, yeah. I love artisan ice cream, but I think, you know, there's really something about Cold Stone. Like, you can make any flavor of ice cream you want.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people are overwhelmed by choice, but I love it. I get cake batter with Twix in it.
Whoa. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's like crazy. It's so good. And then like, I do think Baskin Robbins is the only like ice cream store that has this like flavor, like peanut butter chocolate, like chocolate with
huge like and chunks of peanut butter.
Yeah, and it's, I think it was so the flavor of the good.
Month recently. I used to work at a laser tag place. For those people who know the LA area, the Valley particularly, Ultra Zone. If you've ever had a birthday, you probably went there. Downstairs from us was a Cold Stone, and I used to trade the people up there for like laser tag games in exchange for like the ice cream. Mm. And I used to disrespect myself in front of that like Cold Stone slab because they would just be like, whatever, like we'll hook it up.
Yeah.
And I would make things that didn't taste good. But just like because of the
just
ability.
Sheer ambition ruining
and
the
then,
ice cream.
Like, I remember the third time I did it, one of the people was like, can I tell you like what my favorite thing is? And I was like, yeah. And they like made this like whatever the apple pie a la mode one was amazing. One thing underrated at Sweet Cream or Cold Stone Creamery, the Sweet Cream ice cream.
It
that
is.
That they use as the base for the other shit. That shit on its own, I'm here for it.
Just on a, is that the main one that they use?
It depends on what the flavor. It's like not, it's very nondescript flavor. It's more like a sweet cream. Mm. It's not like vanilla or anything. So
it's really good. Yeah. Like more places should have like just a sweet cream flavor. I think more places do because I've noticed they have it at, I think they have like a version of it at Jenny's ice cream and Liz.
Okay.
Love Jenny's.
Yeah.
Especially when they had that Listeria breakout.
Did they?
This was like 3 years ago. I don't mean to fucking cast dispersions, but you know.
Is cake batter, when they put the cake batter in, is it like uncooked cake batter?
No, it's just a cake batter flavored ice cream.
Oh,
so it's
got
like
it.
Ice cream that tastes like when you eat uncooked cake batter.
And then
batter.
Just Twix, just
and then
mashed
like Twix,
in there.
Yeah, and it like kind of like freezes the Twix when you put it in the ice cream.
Yeah.
And so it has like a very like hard consistency. It's good.
I like a refrigerated Twix.
Oh, yeah. A frozen candy bars. There's nothing like it.
Yeah, I only recently started coming around to frozen candy bars.
Yeah.
I used to be like, it's going to break my teeth. Because I'm usually high and I want to eat it fast. Right. So like biting a Snickers, I remember, was shocking the first time.
You can't trust yourself.
But I had a room temperature Snickers for the first time yesterday because I always like keep them in the fridge. And it was not good. Mm. It really let me down.
Wow. It's too mushy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can see how if you're used to the
or like
sort
the
of
nougat tastes a lot better when it's like hard, I think.
Huh. We'll have to do a taste test.
Yeah.
What is a myth? What's something people think is true, you know, to be false or vice versa?
Okay, I can think of a good one. So I thought of alcohol shouldn't taste good either. in the same way that coffee, I don't think should taste good, or like I don't think it needs to taste good. I also don't think alcohol needs to taste good. I think it's like I love virgin cocktails because it's like really concentrated like juice ingredients without alcohol.
Yeah, just and then so much sugar.
Right. And it's like, I mean, all good cocktails are like essentially, I guess in theory, trying to like complement the like alcohol, but really it's like how much can you mask it?
Sure.
And so I also don't think alcohol should have to taste good.
So you're just like, it's here to do a job.
Let it do its job. Like, I love to take a shot. I love like a vodka water. Vodka water instead of soda, because sometimes drinking like fizzy things, I don't know.
Interesting.
Can, like, upset my stomach. Like, I'm not supposed to sell it or something. Like, I've never really loved carbonation.
Wow.
It's also, maybe carbonated.
Carbonation not supposed to taste good.
Yeah.
So you have an anti-carbonation agenda, sounds like.
I do. Yeah. I'm pushing out here, pushing anti-carbonation agenda.
So how do you feel about those spiked seltzers?
I do like a White Claw. I like it. But I think it's a lot. It's like hype, and I want to like enjoy something that everyone else is enjoying.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, is it White Claw, like, doesn't it not taste alcoholic?
It doesn't.
It's pretty stealthy.
Right. You can't taste it.
I've slowly started coming around to the power of the claw.
The power of the claw.
Or the seltzers. Because in a way, like you're saying, it's there to do a job. And sometimes when you don't notice and you can just kind of be like, if I was grilling outside and I was drinking one, I was like, you know what?
Yeah.
This is all right.
Right.
Yeah, I had a White Claw last night, and I got accidentally, like, drunker than I anticipated, because you just can't.
Yeah, off the claw. You get clobbered.
Oof.
Clobbered.
You know what I mean? Claws out.
Get clobbered. Let's talk about the climate strike, you guys.
Oh, yeah.
That was on Friday. They were happening everywhere. 1.1 million students walked out in New York because the school superintendent of New York was like,
Go fight for your planet.
And
I think it was like 4,000 actions, I think, all across the globe.
Yeah, they really did it. These damn kids. Let's hear what Fox News had to say. It's just a tonally, like, going from being impressed by, you know, the activism and the, you know, how proactive and, you know, successful they were at accomplishing this. Let's hear Fox News.
Today is a day in which your kids might not be going to school.
If they live in New York City.
Because?
It's the Global Climate Strike Day.
Right. It's a time to, the best thing you could do for climate problems is not go to work or go to school and scream on the grass and make a sign.
Listen, people are going to be protesting from 150 different countries, including, as you can see right there, Australia. That's some of the people who have gathered. Here in New York City, 1.1 million public school kids have been told they could skip class to go and take part in today's activities.
Yeah, the mayor says you get an excused absence if you want to leave your classroom today in New York.
And what they're demanding is to end the use of fossil fuels here on planet Earth. And of course, the Democrats who are running for president are embracing climate change.
That was
embracing
very awkward.
Yeah.
And then they go into a package of all the candidates being like, it's a problem. We're going to fucking die if we don't do something soon.
And then it's a hard cut to, and breaking news in Houston.
Catastrophic flooding
everywhere. It's like,
please
Noah.
Stay safe, actually, people out there. A couple of you sent me some very frightening images of where you live. Please stay safe.
But it's just so dismissive. They're just like, and these little kiddies get to be off of school today and make their little signs.
It's like, no, hold up, motherfucker, because I'm assuming they probably have children who are also inheriting this trash earth we're leaving behind.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone is going to benefit from this. It's not just about making signs. The whole energy behind it, like the way they started, it sounded like when local news does like a PSA to like bring charitable gifts, like gifts to a charity for Christmas. Like, hi, we're the Fox News team.
Right.
And then the next person takes over. It's like during the holidays, it's important. Like the cadence of it was odd just to be so dismissive. And it's an urgent problem. But, you know, we get it. They see this as like a culture war thing and not like science.
Yeah. Well, Democrats are embracing climate change. It's just pretty stark to see the difference between like those assholes and then, you know, kids who are actually going to have to live most of their lives with the consequences of 2 degrees Celsius climate change and Miami being underwater and just everything being fucked up.
Yeah. I'm curious, of those 1.1 million students, how many actually went to the climate strike? How many kids were fucking around and smoking weed Yeah. At the park instead of going to
probably
class.
Probably most of them.
You know what I mean? Yeah. I'm curious because in my mind, sadly, and I grew up in a different time, okay? It was a pre-9/11. Well, I was in high school pre and post 9/11. Mm-hmm. But then if you told me there was a day off to do like something socially active, I would have been the fucking straight to the LA River to smoke weed.
Oh, so I'm sure like, you know, it's like whatever, like 5% of those kids are like actually climate
tracking. I wonder, but I'm sure, but you know, it's funny too, when you look at the research though, like demographically, like Gen Z, like for sure is like, like they're fucking, they're taking it seriously. So
taking it very seriously.
You know what? That's why I'm a trash
not
ass.
Doing drugs.
Trash ass
fucking
elder
dorks,
millennial.
Man.
Yeah.
Would maybe they're doing drugs while they climate strike.
Right. That's what I was.
Like, just vape. Porcaino los dos.
Ma, I want to vape. Save the planet.
They're going home. They're saying, Ma, I want to vape. And then they're going to the climate march.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you can definitely hold up your signs while high. Right?
Yeah.
More fun.
That's beautiful.
Oh, it's always great to get out and just among the people and enjoy the good earth.
Yeah, yeah. All right. We're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zai Gang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hey, here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Visible is the wireless company that makes wireless visible. No hidden fees, no really. Save on wireless with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. You don't need more than one line of wireless to save. Just switch to Visible at Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com. And we're back. And Miles, tell me what. I tried to explain the Trump whistleblower story at the end of last week, and I totally fucked it up. And
you
then
did?
You smoothly explained it. So
I don't. Just because a couple Instagram accounts I run were spamming you with comments about that doesn't mean that's how it went down.
No.
But That's, well, I'm glad you noticed that. But I didn't believe that. So, yeah. So we got the report, right? There was a whistleblower in the intelligence community who was basically saying that the president made a promise to some kind of foreign leader on the phone or some other shit. Right. And we don't know what the fuck kind of deal was being made. Then on Friday or Thursday night, we find out a little more details. It turns out he was talking to Volodymyr Zelensky, who is the president of Ukraine.
As if we didn't know who Volodymyr Zelensky is.
And try and spell that correctly. Okay. But yes, he was talking to Volodymyr Zelensky and essentially saying, like, he wanted the Ukraine to investigate Joe Biden's son, Hunter, or whatever his other kid's name is, over a business deal and some kind of corrupt agreement where a prosecutor who was investigating the deal, Joe Biden said he was corrupt and should step down, and therefore it looked like Joe Biden was trying to dead the case to keep his son safe.
Right. When Joe Biden was vice president?
Was vice president.
Got it.
First of all, if none of that is actually true, there was an article written in the New York Times by a woman who eventually became the spokesperson, I think, for the president. It was weird, like essentially saying, like, you know, Rudy Giuliani, or like he's been talking about this story, and then the last paragraph sort of like, but we can't really verify any of that. So it's almost like, why did you even write this story if you're going to say all this shit? And the last paragraph is like, but you know, honestly, we don't know.
It was a New York Times opinion piece,
yeah,
by somebody who was talking about Hunter Biden, like having weird ties,
yes.
weird business deals.
And there's a lot of shit Giuliani was saying out loud. And anyway, so he wanted to follow that thread because obviously he's just basically dangling like the $250 million in military aid we give to Ukraine, basically saying like, because the U.S. cut that shit off and like, you want the money back?
Right.
Maybe you should look into Joe Biden. Uh-huh. Essentially saying, like, I'm going to use taxpayer dollars to fund an Oppo research campaign for political aims, not anything to do with, like, regional security there or to limit the fucking power of Russia in the region. So they're saying,
don't they have something going on with Russia?
Yeah,
with
they're currently,
Trump's
homie
Putin?
They're line stepping over there in Ukraine. And so, you know, essentially they're like, yo, fucking smear Biden and you get your cash is what it all boils down to.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's so many people, like a lot of constitutional scholars too, who are like, every day is a fucking nightmare. But like to take it here now where you're like, you're using your influence and foreign aid to exert power or influence over another country to help you for your reelection campaign.
Right.
That's like some other shit. I mean, it's all this whole administration has been some other shit.
Yeah.
But the best part, right, is before all this happened, we were talking like earlier in the year how Rudy Giuliani's been going to Ukraine and trying to talk to people. And we've always been like, I think he's just trying to dig up dirt for Trump. So when all this came out, it made all of his trips to Ukraine look extra shitty because they're like, I think this is what we suspected the whole time. So my man, Rudy Giuliani, goes on fucking CNN, Chris Cuomo, and this is just the wildest shit. This is what happens when senile grifters are trying to cover for each other on live television.
What Biden said to the Ukraine. Did you ask the Ukraine to investigate Joe Biden?
No, actually, I didn't. I asked the Ukraine to investigate the allegations that there was interference in the election of 2016 by the Ukrainians for the benefit of Hillary Clinton, for which there already is a court finding.
You never asked anything about Hunter Biden. You never asked anything about Joe Biden.
The only thing I asked about Joe Biden is to get to the bottom of how it was that Lutsenko, who was appointed, dismissed the case against Antac.
So you did ask Ukraine to look into Joe Biden?
Of course I did.
You just said you didn't.
No, I didn't ask him to look into Joe Biden. I asked him to look into the allegations that related to my client, which tangentially involved Joe Biden in a massive bribery scheme, not unlike what he did in China.
Rudy,
you explain to me how the kid got.
All right, just cut this motherfucker off.
All I asked about Joe Biden is for them.
So
to
you
look
asked
into
about Joe
thing.
Biden? Of course I did. You just said you did it, my guy. Oh man. I just want to point something out, a side note about Rudy Giuliani. He's in the middle of a messy fucking divorce.
Yeah.
And so his ex-wife that he's in the process of divorcing, like, apparently they're just getting fights all the time at this, like, country club. They're, like, when they see each other, like, they start yelling at each other in public.
Oh,
and, like,
no.
They're trying to, like, sort, like, be like, please don't interact with each other. It's just a mess.
And they can't help themselves.
When Rudy Giuliani was campaigning, his wife basically demanded that there's always an extra seat next to her for her Louis bag.
Mm.
So you know what? Queen,
hell yeah.
That's queen shit. Yeah. So she's very chill. But also, you know, okay, interesting. And then as this divorce went on, So Rudy Giuliani was making like maybe between like $8 and $9 million a year working for this law firm. He quit his job. So it would look like his income was severely less so he could get out of paying like spousal support.
Mm.
But there is the courts know about this kind of fucking tactic.
Right.
And they will impute income to use a legal term, but essentially saying like they're going to look at what your earning power is and actually determine what like your payments are based off of that. You can't just work because that's
why just play dead.
Well, that's why he's working for the president for free.
Right.
To be like, well, you know, I'm doing this for free, so I don't really have money coming in, therefore I can't do stuff. Yet he like had to borrow $100,000 from like one of the partners at his legal firm to pay his taxes, but then has money to pay for like a private jet subscription that's like $50,000 a year or something like that.
Subscription?
And, yes.
NetJet?
Like, I guess one of those shits. Yeah. Yeah, where it's like, hey, man, like, you know, you kind of all pitch in on this jet and use it whenever.
It's like a casual timeshare of a plane.
Mm.
Do you use it a lot?
NetJet?
Yeah, you know, no.
You just said it's so
very familiar.
Oh, like, yeah. I mean, I'm from like Silicon Valley, so
oh,
it's
right.
Like everyone there like does like is really into that
so
kind of thing.
So how do you do it? You pay your $50,000 and then
yeah, it's essentially you're just like buying into being able to like use a private plane like most of the time.
Oh, got it. But then there are some blackout dates.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
Got it. And then like, but then he has money. He was also like paying $40,000 to have dental work done for his girlfriend's son.
Oh, shit.
Rudy's in a fucking mess right now. So, you know, he's got a lot on his plate. And then on top of that, he's, you know, entering the twilight years of his life.
Right.
And trying to lie on TV with people who are sharp and are listening to the words he's saying. He can't just, like, shit out his mouth.
He's so bad at lying. He contradicts his lies
all the time
from one sentence to the next.
So, yeah, it only makes the whole situation look much worse.
Yeah. And like I was totally on board Trump 2020, but when I heard they're fucking with Hunter Biden, I don't know if you read the New Yorker profile about him, but he's such a lovable fuck up. He's just constantly, you know, getting sober, relapsing, and like going on these incredible benders where it's just the people who like he's renting cars from are like, yo man, you need to get help, like there's cocaine all over the place in there, like
all over the car.
Yeah
Wow, he's probably doing like bumps off his like wrist with the windows down,
but he's just like so earnest and just like at one point when he was clean, he like gave a homeless person like a place to live for like a couple months, like in his apartment. He's just like a good dude, but
he's
also
battling some shit.
Can't get over his demons. Oh,
man, I have friends like that too. Who are like, you know, you love them. God love them.
Yeah.
But, you know, they're struggling sometimes.
But, like, the Biden campaign is very stressed out about him. They're like, he's going to be a liability.
Well, this is the thing. Like, it's funny. He's, for all the focus that's on, you know, Biden, like, there's two other people behind him who are beating his ass in the polls just as equally.
Right.
But in his mind, he's like, he's got to take down old Blood Eye.
Right.
To keep his reelection intact.
I mean, this seems like the best thing that could possibly happen to Biden, right?
Trump,
like, taking aim at him?
Sure, of course.
Well, it makes it seem like he's more of a threat than he is.
Yeah,
I
exactly.
Think.
Yeah. Right. Because he's like, wow, he's, like, basically violating the Constitution to try and take me down. That's
right.
Why are you so obsessed
with me? It probably gives him a lot of faith
me.
In his campaign.
Right. Yeah. And it also, you know, his main argument right now is, like, look, you might not like me, but I'm going to beat Trump.
Yeah.
So, like, yes, I suck. But, like, just stick with me past the primaries and I'll beat Trump.
That was also Hillary's campaign, which didn't work.
Yeah.
Exactly. Oh, I'm going to mop the floor with
this. Oh, just
dude.
Wait. Look at these numbers.
Right.
And then Biden's like, man, the same way I almost fucked up these black gang members at a pool. I'm gonna fuck Trump up.
Straight razor,
man. What the fuck? Fuck? Who told you to say that shit?
You guys know how you like have a straight razor that you soak overnight in a rain barrel and then you come. That's one of the things he said. Everyone's like, what?
Soak a straight razor in a rain barrel?
Yeah.
What the fuck is that supposed to do?
I have no idea. I think make it rusty so that it's like.
Oh, ooh. So we'll.
I, but like, that doesn't
get,
make
like,
it
some...
sharper.
No, yeah. But it would get like, tetanus or something?
Yeah, yeah.
What the fuck?
I don't know, man. It's been a while since I talked to Corn Pop.
Yeah.
R.I.P.
R.I.P.
Let's talk about a story that we touch on like every 4 months or so.
Yeah.
The mysterious attack on the Cuban embassy that caused basically the Trump administration to completely pull out of Cuba, stop any sort of diplomatic progress that was being made by the Obama administration. And also, you know, it was just a real juicy news story because it was like, yeah, they're using mystery sci-fi weapons on us.
Right.
That, like, basically people started feeling all sorts of fucked up after hearing this, like, really weird noise. And my theory had been that this seemed a lot like mass hysteria, because the symptoms that the people had were also symptoms of aging, like slight hearing loss.
And right. But they were, it was like specific though too, right? They were hearing
right.
Like...
But then there were also these reports that there were actually differences in the brain scans, which my theory didn't couldn't explain away. So, but I had a feeling it wasn't going to be super sci-fi weapons that the U.S. military didn't know existed.
Right.
So the CBC is reporting a new study that's not like, well, they made it up, but it's also not that it's all in their head, like I suspected. So the new information that I hadn't heard anywhere else is that there was a trend of people getting mysterious illnesses starting in 2016 while in Cuba and while in Havana specifically after returning from travel there or when they were there. And they often complained of a buzz or high-pitched whine prior to getting sick. And so they did the Canadians, you know, being the sober-minded, friendly people that they are, just did a study on the brains of people who had been to Cuba and found that there were differences between their brains before they went and after they went, and also differences between the brains of people who went to Cuba and people who didn't. But specifically, like, these were not diplomats. These were not spies. So
right.
It's just...
Didn't make sense. Like, why are they
targeting
them?
Didn't make sense, right. They're not... Well, yeah, are they targeting them is the question. And they noticed that it was the damage was specific to a part of the brain that's responsible for memory, concentration, sleep and wake cycle. And then they started looking into what can injure that part of the brain, and neurotoxins was like the number one thing.
Okay.
And then they realized that 2016, when all these illnesses started happening, was when Zika started and Cuba started doing some real heavy doses of a particular pesticide that isn't used in North America.
Oh, so these people basically just got like hit with a bunch
got
of Roundup
gassed.
Or something?
Yeah, exactly. But like with Cuban Roundup that has a neurotoxin in it that North Americans can't handle, apparently.
I still think it's spices and the food.
It could be that, yeah.
Or Wawanko.
But yeah, so I mean, this makes a lot more sense. It also... you know, is a much less sensational explanation.
Are you satisfied with this?
I am, because it makes sense of like the things that I found suspicious, like the fact that it would have been physically impossible for any of the things that the Trump administration was suggesting could happen. But it also, like, it is a mental thing or a neurological thing. It's just... it does have a chemical cause, I guess.
All right. Well,
yeah.
We closing the case on that one?
Yeah. I don't know. Researchers from Canada are looking to collaborate with Cuban officials to determine whether any Cubans suffered similar brain injuries. So that'll help them determine, like, whether this is actually the case. But that just seems like a healthier way to approach the investigation.
Very novel way to fuck some people up is just put wild neurotoxin all over, like, the buildings are going in and be like, that'll probably fuck them up a little bit.
Yeah, but a lot of the people that they were fucking up had nothing to do with diplomacy or spying or anything.
Look, you know,
like
I'm just trying to create conspiracy theories.
I know you are, man. Need to stop. Leave Cuba alone. But yeah, I don't know. The working with Cuba seemed like Cuban officials, like from the start, have been like, we don't know what's happening, but like, let's work together to figure this out. Trump was like, nice try, spy.
Yeah, you got a fucking ray gun.
Slam the door in their face and run away. So yeah, that's an update.
Well, we can rest easy.
Yeah, we can rest easy.
Or you can rest easy.
I can.
I will still be awake at night thinking about who's spraying what around my house.
Yeah, I mean, they said that it's like they were able to correlate people who had specifically bad symptoms with people who they were spraying more of the
pesticide
whatever. At their office or around their homes.
Okay.
So.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Should we go to Corrections Corner?
Well, I mean, yeah. Wow. What a pretty big fuck up.
Got egg on our face, man.
Yeah.
This is probably an entire genre of stories that we need to just be wary of. Anytime it's something that millennials are doing differently that is causing some sort of dramatically devastating or just like creepy impact,
right?
We should be skeptical also, especially if it's smartphones or video games or any newish technology that old people are scared of.
Right. The story was about millennials texting so much or looking down so much, they're growing horns at the base of their skull.
Right.
Or some shit. And we're like, what the fuck is that? I mean, yeah. And apparently it's grossly exaggerated. And,
right.
Like, they couldn't really find a connection between those two things.
Wait, but was someone growing horns?
No, it's like there's these like calcium deposits in their spines that they were saying like are more prominent, but the science that it was based on is complete bullshit. Like so it wasn't just, you know, us misreading the study. The study had to be corrected. Like, that's why this is now coming out. They actually issued a correction to the article. They changed the sentences that everybody quoted, or they just took them out. Like, the quote horn at the back of the head, that whole thing was taken out.
just like a concept of the horn in general.
Yes. Maybe linked to sustained aberrant postures associated with handheld contemporary technologies was taken out. So it's basically nothing now, like a study that nobody would have paid attention to. And they also added the fact that one of the authors of the paper sells services claiming to treat the issue of forward head posture.
Sort of like how the whole anti-vax started.
Yeah.
It's like, oh yeah, MMR vaccines, go fuck your kid up. Also, I've got this alternative to the MMR vaccine.
Right. Yeah, and like that story, the thing that is probably more likely to stick in people's heads is, holy shit, they got horns coming out the back of their heads, these kids these days.
It's always
more than like people get news story wrong.
Well, typically it's always millennials are ruining wedding ring industry. Millennials are ruining home buying.
Right.
And really it's every headline can just be millennials are broke as fuck.
Right.
It's really what it is. It's not that we're not ruining. It's like we don't have money we don't have the wealth accumulation that these other generations do. So in this one, I wonder if it's like millennials are so poor, they're growing horns or whatever the fuck they can spin that into.
Right.
Millennials do have bad posture.
Yeah.
It would seem. It just seems
terrible, man.
Yeah, I have really bad posture, but I feel like it's just not something that our generation has been taught to prioritize.
No. Or
really
our parents
old people
would.
Have bad posture too.
Well, really old people. But that's only because they're like scoliosis or something.
Yeah, my posture.
Nah, fuck them. We got better posture than
It's all about posture. It's all about pelvic tilt when you sit, you know, a lot of things.
Oh, man, you fucked me up with that pelvic tilt thing.
Yeah.
I was constantly aware of
it's a gateway to twerking.
The tilt
though.
Of my pelvis.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's true that we have bad posture, but I don't know. What do we have to compare it to, like, past generations?
I don't know. If I just look at photos, you know, like, people stand upright as fuck. But also, those are when, like, a photo took, like, 15 seconds to take.
Right. And that's also, like, the only photo you get taken.
Right.
Like,
you got to make that shit
lifetime.
Count. Yeah. You're like, I'm putting on a fucking tuxedo, and I'm chest out fucking straight up.
Yeah. I stand up straight in pictures, too.
But also, yeah, I don't know. Like, I think... But it's funny to look at generationally how, like, people pose differently in photos. Like, I look at how my, like, grandparents would be in a photo, especially on, like, the Asian side of my family, where they're fucking stoic as fuck.
Yeah, no smiling.
No smiling. It's like, we're here at the Louvre. Fuck you. And then, like,
it's
as
like
it gets...
a rap album cover.
But then, like, their kids started smiling in photos, and then their grandkids are, like, fucking full-on posing and shit. So, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
I think it's also just that we get more photos taken now, so it seems like you can kind of, it's more, it's a more casual, relaxed experience.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
I make sure to have my eyes closed and everything.
Just to be like, he's so contemplative.
Right. No, just to be like, man, that guy can't keep his eyes open.
Oh, it's like, he must be really tired.
Should we talk about caffeinated yogurt?
Yes.
Yeah.
Just because, what the fuck?
Pro Fuel.
Oikos. Yeah. Makers of Greek yogurt, they got, Oikos fucking Pro Fuel. I don't know why they needed that name isn't good, but it is a fucking, what they describe as a caffeinated and cultured dairy drink. Notice they can't say yogurt because I'm guessing it didn't reach the technical requirements to be considered a yogurt. Mm. But it's about, now it's 25 grams of protein and 100 milligrams of caffeine. I don't know how much How much is in a cup of coffee?
And like a standard cup of coffee, it's like 130 or something like that.
Yeah. Oh,
wow.
Yeah.
Okay. Got caffeine expert here.
Yeah.
So what's that going to, I mean, I guess if you're sensitive, like you get a
lightly caffeinated muscle milk, basically.
Ugh.
But muscle milk, like caffeine is good for working out. So
are people going to use it like as pre-workout? Is that the idea?
But you don't like load up protein before you work out.
Yeah.
I think it's for people who
I like to have a nice big milkshake before I go for a run.
It's like Go-Gurt for adults that scream.
Right.
That's basically what this shit is. Yeah. Like, it's like, yeah, man. Because it's like in a bottle that's like shaped so you can just chug it in your fucking commute or whatever. Yeah.
So a black bottle too, so you know it's made for men.
Yeah.
It's like it looks like it was designed by the same people who make Axe body spray bottles.
Yeah.
Ooh.
But the caffeine comes from the flesh of the coffee cherry.
Mm.
Not the nut that it turns into the bean that we use for coffee.
Mm.
So what if that means anything to you? Great.
Yeah.
But caffeinated, I mean, I'll try it because I think it's interesting, but also there's something odd about caffeinated yogurt in general to me. I don't know.
I think it sounds convenient.
Right.
It's like how like doesn't Soylent have like a caffeinated version?
Probably. Have you had Soylent?
Yeah, it's not good.
It's fucking
really, really bad.
Yeah. I mean, it's like passable. You know what I mean? Like, I'm like, I get it. If you're like so like a fucking every second of my life fucking counts. I don't have time to fucking eat. I don't have time to shit.
Right.
I'm gonna fucking drink Soylent.
That's some
sure.
Silicon Valley shit.
Yeah, that is some Silicon Valley shit. But
we're
optimizing
the food consumption process.
I think it is like just a certain type of person who values different things than
taste,
human experience, kind of stuff.
But I guess if like your Lord and Savior is the almighty dollar, then like, yeah, you're like, dude, I don't have time to fucking look at my kids in the eye.
Right.
Barely.
Right.
I sleep here at Google every day.
Yeah. Soylent is also like unregulated. They did a dollop episode about it.
Oh, really?
It's a mess, man. They had like the ingredients for it just like sitting out on a warehouse floor.
What do you mean? Like, were they manufactured?
Yeah, they just had like a big pile of it on a tarp on a floor, and like people were getting poisoned by it. They were getting like food poisoning from it, and they had to do a bunch of recalls and shit.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. So
it's so weird that they branded it as like some revolutionary product when it's like their like Ensure has existed.
Just milk replacement.
Right. It's just what?
I think because it was that whole like idea of like these rich motherfuckers are pounding this shit because they don't have time, man.
Right.
So if you're broke and an aspiring wealthy person,
right,
this is for you, not the shit your grandma has to drink because she had a stroke.
Right.
This is fucking Soylent, man.
How do I tell people that I use Apple products with my food?
Right. No, absolutely. For real.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
All right. Let's take another quick break and we'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Hey, here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Visible is the wireless company that makes wireless visible. No hidden fees, no really. Save on wireless with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. You don't need more than one line of wireless to save. Just switch to Visible at Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com. And we're back. And it's a little early, but it is time to start thinking about Halloween costumes. Do you guys have yours picked out already?
I dress up maybe every election year.
Oh, okay.
Roughly. Like every four years. Half the time I'm like, man, I'm not going fucking out.
Right.
Or if I do, then I do some half-assed costume. But it's I only catch the true spirit every 4 years.
Yeah.
I don't know what I'm going to be. And see, I don't have a family like you. So right. I don't have no, you know, kids to be taking around the neighborhood.
Yeah.
Do you have a costume, Dana?
Oh, yeah. I love Halloween.
Hell yeah.
I have like a different costume every day. If it falls on a weird weekend where people go out 2 weekends, yeah. I have a costume. So my main one this year that I've started thinking about is, did you guys see the Normani Motivation music video?
Yes. Yeah.
So I want to do the 1996
okay.
white top.
Do you make your own? Scarf.
Hell yeah.
I make most
Damn.
Of my own stuff.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like
down.
Either like I'll find it or like, you know, I'm really good with scissors. I do have a sewing machine, so I can do very basic things.
Oh, shit. Okay.
But it looks pretty almost like tied together.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
I think
yeah.
it'll be easy, and then I just have to spray paint 1996 on
there you
it.
Go. Get your airbrushing out.
Yeah, and then I don't know. When I don't know, I'm usually like a cat. But I really like
when I don't know, usually a cat.
I'm a cat.
Right. That's
but
the default.
I love the Instagramming all of Halloween weekend.
Nice.
Oh wow! So do you have your costume programming already settled?
That's definitely one of them.
Wow.
So that's like definitely gonna be one night.
Okay, damn.
Yeah, there will be photos.
So. Well, stay tuned.
You'll see.
I more or less just shoehorned this segment into the episode because Taco Bell just released a bunch of costumes.
Right.
And, you know, I'm from hell. So that, my blood type is fire sauce or Diablo sauce. But their costumes are so lazy, but like in the most amazing way, you could be a motherfucking gordita.
Right.
Okay, not very impressive. It looks like it's screen printed onto a fucking silk sheet. They also have it for children, if you want to show people you really don't care about your child's future. And then they have like hot sauce packets for men and women.
Yeah.
So there's a thotty version, or it depends on if you want to thot it up, you can make it a little more thotty, or you can be in a little more generic sauce packet version. Then I kind of started looking at what people are talking about in terms of the shitty costumes. There's a hot Mr. Rogers.
Is there any other type of Mr. Rogers?
That's true.
Yeah.
Okay. Point taken. That is just
snack.
Basically like Daisy Duke shorts and
red sweater
and like a playmate collar with a tie.
Wait, did he rock a tie?
I don't know. This is what they're calling it. You know what
no,
I mean?
No, he did. Yeah, he wore a tie.
He always wore a tie?
I think
okay.
so.
I can't. In my mind, I just think of his
with no shirt underneath? Just a tie?
Yeah, just a tie around his back.
Chiseled
no practical
chest.
Purpose
right.
for it, weirdly.
Right.
Yeah.
She's also wearing high heels where like his whole thing was that he would sit down and take his sneakers off.
Yeah, yeah, well, look, come
well,
on.
She'll probably take those off.
Right.
Yeah. And then there was another one I just saw that just was a dress that had dollars printed on it and it just said tariff. spray paint on the
front.
Is
that a political costume?
It must be, but it's
like
making
a political cartoon. It's like one of those things that like has like a bag with like an elephant sitting on it, and it's like the country.
Right.
Like all these, like,
here's your tariff.
Right.
I mean, I'm curious to know who that appeals to. Like someone goes, I want a sexy costume that is going to make commentary about our trade war with China. Right. Like, where's that Venn diagram?
Yeah, overlap? It's just like rant. Like they were like, what else is topical? Tariffs.
Tariffs, fucking. Well,
just write tariff on our dress.
What happened to that dollar bills y'all dress we had from last year? All right, reprint
from
those.
Last year.
Reprint those with tariff on the front.
Right. Yeah, I'm trying to think. Normani's a great, like, timely, zeitgeisty costume.
Well, she's like a year younger than me, so it's like a fun.
Got it.
Oh, nice. You're like, yeah. Actually, not
I'm,
really.
I'm not really born in 96, but.
Yeah.
Can,
you know,
pretend.
We do what we got to do.
Yeah.
Right.
Wait, you were born in 97?
I was born in 95.
95. You're 95. Older.
I'm older than Normani.
Oh, I thought you said you're
tragically
you're
for me.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Oh, how are you
so
dealing
old.
With that?
I had no idea.
How are you dealing with that?
Not well.
Yeah.
You know, it's hard.
Does that motivate a lot of your comedy?
Feeling old?
Or just
like how
in
close
comparison
you are
to Normani?
Yeah, I think I have a sister. She was born in 2002, so she's not even 18 yet.
Right.
And she's like really famous on Instagram.
Yes,
very funny.
So that's a, you know, a huge part of my own brand.
Yeah,
my own insecurities.
In relation to your sister, yes.
Yeah, right. She's 7 years younger than me. That's
I think I saw
very
the,
difficult.
One of the first tweets I saw from you was about your sister and that you had an ex-boyfriend who kept asking you her birthday.
Oh, yeah.
So you had to break up.
That was
with
my
him.
First big tweet ever.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
There you go.
Making moves out here.
Well, yeah. We'll keep covering, like, I think Halloween, like topical Halloween costumes is a good way to just sort of monitor the Zeitgang and see what monitor the Zeitgeist.
What
not
would,
the Zeitgang. We don't monitor you guys, I promise.
Yeah. But please download the iHeartRadio app.
Yes.
And listen exclusively through there.
And leave it open, if possible.
Yeah, and
just
allow
in the background.
Allow microphone and camera access.
And if you could just describe, like, your purchasing habits, that would be dope.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think, what would be the most 2019 costume?
I mean, Tariff is, like, a good example of the sort of thing.
Yeah,
it's, like,
but it's
some shit from... I mean, I'm sure there's going to be some political ones about, you know, like ICE agents and then, you know, people being held in kids in cages.
Dude, a Smirnoff ICE agent?
Oh, shit. I mean, I think that's a little too
wacky.
Creative to be a thing that a lot of people
Well, one year
are
I was Pharrell Williams Wallace. And I was Pharrell mixed with William Wallace.
You just had a Pharrell hat.
I had that big ass, like, fucking Vivian Westwood hat.
Yeah.
And then blue face paint. With like a Bape shirt and a kilt.
Hell yeah.
Anyway.
I'm out here doing the Lord's work. It's just an excuse to show off those legs, man.
Yeah, right? Yo. Boy.
Anything to rock a kilt.
Hey, man, those quads, man. You can see all four of them.
All right, let's talk about Tekashi 6ix9ine.
Yeah. About time.
So he's been in prison since he pled guilty to racketeering earlier this year, but there was a much anticipated trial where he was the star witness
that
just got a testifying at the end of last week. And there was lots of content being spilt.
He's basically, first of all, for those of you who don't know, Tekashi 6ix9ine is a New York rapper who...
He's got a bunch of face tattoos
tattoos.
A unicorn frap for hair.
Yes.
Like unicorn frap colored braids.
He's been, you know, he acts real gangster and was hanging around a lot of interesting people, gang members. Mm-hmm. And famously on The Breakfast Club, Charlamagne and them were like, you need to stop this. This is not going to end well for you because we've seen this over and over. You want to align yourself with these hoodlums, as my grandmother would say. And it's going to lead, eventually one of these people is going to bring your whole shit down and you're going to be connected. This is not the look you want. Just do you. You're successful. You don't need all this other shit. And he's like, nah, fuck y'all. I know what's best for me. Like any young person in their 20s. I get it. Like I also thought I knew everything at 22.
Yeah.
So cut to now.
And was like, we'll see where you are in about
like,
a year.
Right.
And cut to a year later.
And he's out
in
here
prison,
diming on fucking everybody.
Diming on a lot of gang members.
He was saying Jim Jones is a blood, which isn't like really surprising. Nothing new. Cardi B.
I think the thing that Jim Jones is going to be pissed off about is they asked him
who he was.
Yeah, please tell us who Jim Jones is. And Tekashi 6ix9ine said he's a retired rapper.
How dare you?
Damn. And then specifically identified him as a blood. And I don't know. He just seems like to be about as publicly marked for death as anyone since like the Tupac Biggie feud.
I don't know. I mean, he's definitely in protective custody in prison.
Right.
But he did admit, he's like, they're like, are you doing this to like help the government or like, cause you're trying to help the government? Are you trying to get a lenient sentence? He's like, man, a little bit from column A, a little bit from column B. Right. Gotta look out for myself. Yeah. I did not. I underestimated how heavy this shit could get.
Another interesting thing that we learned is he revealed that his strategy for building his career was inspired by Logan and Jake Paul.
Wow.
Yeah. Honestly, iconic career strategy. I was talking about the other day, like how like Logan and Jake, like all the Nick and Aaron Carter stuff that's going on. Mm-hmm. It is very like what Jake and Logan have like almost like they've like modeled like fake feuds after like all these like weird like child brother stars like real feuds.
Right.
Does that make sense? It's like
all their beef is fake.
Right, all their beef is fake. Obviously, so fake.
I had to disconnect from those two motherfuckers. Oh, I'm about to smash y'all.
Well, I'm like re into Jake Paul because I'm really into this influencer Tana Mojo. Do you guys know Tana?
Yeah. That's the one who got
married.
She's
now married.
Yeah,
in quotes.
Or had that fake ass marriage.
Right.
Yeah.
And they're like openly, like, it's not on paper. It is fake.
Right.
Like, they're.
It was live streamed and y'all paid to see
exactly,
it.
Exactly. Yeah.
And then there was like a fist fight.
Well,
right?
There was like a fake
quote unquote.
But it was like not.
If you watch.
Convincing.
It was like really weird. I think it was just Jake Paul like had someone throw champagne on Tana at the altar.
Right.
And it like. And
I did
don't
the
think,
same thing
I
in my
really
wedding.
Don't think she was in on it because I watch her MTV reality show and it almost seems like Jake Paul kind of like wiggled his way into her life so he could be on this, so he could like take over the MTV show.
Whoa.
Because she had the MTV show deal before they started hanging out.
Yeah.
Oh,
isn't that crazy?
And now he's like featured.
Yeah. And now he's like a main character in this like MTV reality show. And that's how I got back into Jake Paul because I like really tried to dial
his
it back.
His scheme's working.
But now I'm back.
You're back. You're fully back
again.
In.
I watch. I his music videos are so funny.
I mean, it's every day.
It's every day, bro.
Yeah.
I do have a Jay Paulers sweatshirt.
Oh, you down Team 10?
Yeah. It took like 10 weeks to get.
Oh, for real?
Yeah.
Ooh.
So it's shipping game, not on
shipping.
Not on point.
Not for Team 10.
Yeah.
Not every day.
They're not out there shipping every day.
There's some horribly abused intern somewhere. Just
oh, yeah.
Being like,
and having to like screen print them.
Behind.
He's like, I think the fabric paint is doing something in my brain. Yeah, better start printing them motherfucking hoodies, bro.
But yeah, I mean, they're famous in a way that everybody that's their age would like to be famous. So like they didn't get that without a little bit of genius. And B, a little bit of a huge personality problem, like personality defect.
Sure.
Yeah.
Well, I think because their whole lifestyle to a teenager is like, it looks
so
like
cool.
Your millionaire parents left you home alone with a Lamborghini.
Yeah.
And you can smoke weed in there and ride a hoverboard
yeah,
and it's
yeah.
all good.
Yeah.
And you're
yeah,
the parent.
And also like the, you know, pull pranks on your bros.
Yeah.
Like, it's prank culture.
Who doesn't, man?
Mm-hmm.
You ever pull any pranks on your bros?
Oh, dude.
Dude,
every day. It's
every
day,
bro.
It's
every
my
day,
lifestyle.
The pranks, dude.
Are you fucking kidding me?
Fucking manager of the regional prank.
No, because I didn't want them to pull it on me because I find them hurtful.
Do you ever do social experiments on people?
Oh, yeah, constantly. How about you? You do anything good? Like, when I was in high school, like, I went to a boarding school and they, like, you know, you're living on your own as a kid who's like not equipped. So we would always, you know, one time we put a kid's entire room out on the lawn. Just
is that a prank?
That's a prank.
Just yeah, passive aggressive hatred, like hate move.
That's what a prank is.
It was a friend.
Yeah, I guess so, right?
Yeah.
But I guess the prank sometimes, like, you know, you can gaslight people into thinking like their parents died in a car accident.
Right.
You know what I mean? And then be like, I'm joking, dude, but you owe me $5 for that blunt. And then, that's a sick prank,
right? That is good.
I think I liked pranking people's younger siblings because it was I used to fucking pretend me and my friend would convince his younger sister that this sleeping bag was a time machine.
Yeah.
And we would just drag her ass through the house and be like, oh shit, there's dinosaurs. And just be hitting with her pillows and shit. And I'd do that with my cousin too.
Damn.
Shout out to my cousin, Austin.
I mean, that is a good prank.
Who now has a circle tattoo on his throat.
No way I would fall for that.
Yeah, I mean, it seemed impossible. No, you know, way. Like, but it's like you're in a sleeping bag and we're hitting you with pillows, but we're calling it dinosaurs and you're in the prehistoric time. Look, we didn't have great ideas when we were 10.
Let's workshop that.
Yeah, we'll do that.
Let's talk about Rambo. There's a new Rambo that just came out this past weekend. And it's getting bad reviews, which most of the Rambo sequels have always gotten.
Yeah.
The first one was sort of a little bit more subtle of a movie, about a Vietnam vet who was like damaged in a Travis Bickle from Taxi Driver sort of way. And then he like goes off on he gets like PTSD and, goes off on a rampage in the woods and but he only like kills one dude or something in the first movie.
Oh, really?
And in the second movie, by the time the second movie rolled around, he killed like all of Vietnam. Like he killed the entire country.
It was a bit of revisionist history.
Yeah.
There.
So the second movie was like a huge, massive blockbuster. I think it was the biggest movie the year that it came out. And the premise was he goes back to Vietnam and wins the Vietnam War for America. By himself, by killing every Vietnamese soldier. And yeah, it was a monster hit. And Reagan loved it. And like Reagan's followers loved it. And it sounds like this sequel has a lot in common with that.
Well, it's like preying on existing anxieties, whether that was like being in denial that the U.S. lost the Vietnam War.
Yeah.
Or this one being we're afraid of brown people from south of the border.
Yeah.
Which so, I think this whole thing is operating off
right.
of, basically.
So in this Rambo, he lives on a horse ranch in Arizona. He has a niece who he's been a complete loner up to this point. And apparently he had a niece this whole time.
Was there any reference to Rambo having siblings ever?
No.
Oh, wow. So this is like like the Miss Monopoly game.
Yeah.
We're like, who's Miss Monopoly? She's Mr. Monopoly's niece you just heard of, so we can make a game for female entrepreneurs.
Yeah. So anyway, his niece wants to go to Mexico to find her birth father, and Rambo forbids her because it's Mexico, and that's like just self-evidently dangerous in this movie. She goes anyway and is kidnapped and sold into sex slavery after a single night. In Mexico.
And the Mexican Bureau of Tourism funded this.
Right? Yeah, exactly. Yeah. They're like, man, shit gets wild.
What
fat.
The fuck? So the moral for anybody watching that is this niece disobeyed her uncle, goes to Mexico, and then look what happened.
Right.
You get taken, mom.
This is how they are down there, man.
Jesus.
Rambo takes on the Mexican rapists and murderers and, I don't know if you saw the last Rambo movie. I think it was the fourth one, but
people were getting fucked up.
It's the most gratuitously violent like movie I've ever seen. And apparently, at the climax of the movie, there's a pointed shot of the border fence.
Are you for real?
Yeah, yeah. So
hey, when are we gonna finish that wall?
Right.
Hey, maybe if there was a wall, you know, we don't have to go down and fight these guys.
Yeah. I mean, he's going to be studied as a like very successful and probably ignominious propagandist when years from now because of like Rocky IV and Rambo II and now this movie.
Until right now, I thought Rocky and Rambo were the same thing.
Right.
Engineer, that's fair.
I should look that up. But like, are they associated? They're just both Sylvester Stallone and they're both one name words. And like one is a boxer and then one is like
a non-vet.
Former soldier
okay,
who
got
can
it.
Just like
kill everyone at will.
Kills everyone. Yeah.
Disembowel people.
Truly crazy.
Yeah. Well, that's, but that's what's funny because like it's such a cultural icon.
Right.
Where like people think of like being like Rambo, like I'm gonna be fucking Rambo. Like
right.
Rambo's fucking strong. He's like this American who don't fuck around, don't fucking kill brown people. Doesn't fucking matter, man. Cause Rambo.
Right.
Yeah.
We love
the branding.
They're both inherently political. Like Rambo is a stand-in for, you know, like wounded Vietnam veterans who like came home and like felt like the country just like shit on them and didn't feel like they had like a victory to celebrate. And that was like the first time that veterans weren't treated well. And then Rocky was like this, you know, basically he beat Muhammad Ali in the first movie, like a stand in for Muhammad Ali. And it's like a stand in for basically white people's wish that they had a white champion that could like beat Muhammad Ali.
Right. And this guy.
Right. Exactly. He actually stole the story from a guy whose fight he went and saw. He saw a guy go 15 rounds with Muhammad Ali and like lose because he wasn't a very good fighter, but he was just like some schlub white
boxer. Went the distance.
And he was like, what if? But similar to Rocky, like the first Rocky is sort of an art movie where, you know, there are consequences and he's mentally not all there. And then eventually it becomes this, he's just like a superhero doing American wishes for the American people.
Right. Yeah, well, it's funny. Like every, I feel like every Republican president has been shown embodying Rambo in some way.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like there's always, I don't know if there's, are there Obama Rambo posters? Because you know there's the Ronald Reagan ones.
Right. There's a there's Rambo. It was a poster that was really popular at the time with just a Rambo's body with Ronald Reagan's head poorly photoshopped onto it.
It's really,
because it's
just a frightening image though, that
but
specific
it's such
thing.
A powerful image because Reagan made like people in the 80s, conservatives in the 80s, like so around, like they were so fucking into Reagan.
Right.
But he was like an old man who was like kind of senile. So like by attaching his head to like this body of like a powerful guy shooting a machine gun, they like got to kind of do some wish fulfillment.
It kind of looks like how Sylvester Stallone looks now, because he looks so old, but he's all on that HGH.
Right.
So his body's all yeah. ripped up, but his face looks like 700 years old.
Yeah. Reagan actually like stepped into it and was like talking about how Rambo inspired him to like fuck up people who stood in the way of tax reform or some shit. He's and now there is a poster with Trump's face on Rambo's body, and it's only a matter of time until he starts talking about how much he loves Rambo and how he is like Rambo.
Really loved Rambo.
Yeah.
So, fuck him.
Yeah. So fuck.
Well, we'll have to fuck. I'm part of me needs to see this, and part of me doesn't want to see it, but also it sounds like such a fucked up nightmare.
Yeah.
You should buy a ticket for Hustlers and then sneak into Rambo.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
That's my whole, I'm telling everyone to do that. If they want to see Ad Astra, like you should buy your ticket for Hustlers and then go to Ad Astra.
Did you see Hustlers?
I did. I saw it twice and I'm going to see it again.
Is it amazing?
It's like, I mean, I love it. Like, it's just exactly like, I think it's, I mean, it's for me. I'm
right.
like the target demo 100%. But like, it's like, I love like hot girls and like purple lights, and so that, like what?
My aesthetic is hot girls and
hot
purple
girls
lights.
And purple lights. Yeah, it's like very Euphoria for grown-ups.
Yeah. Subtitle of the movie: Hot Girls. And
Maybe
purple
I'll just do that shit. Scumbag theater hopping.
Yeah,
that's what I'm gonna do
ticket.
On Saturday. I'm gonna
go
see Hustlers again, and I'm gonna see Ad Astra.
Damn.
Yeah.
Ad Astra is supposed to be really good too.
Yeah.
Don't ask my mom her take on that.
Oh yeah.
What,
your mom
space?
Has. So
my mom's a film critic, and sometimes I ask her
spicy takes.
But she's, you know, she's Japanese, so sometimes her texts come a little jumbled when she's talking in English.
Mm-hmm.
But I think when I asked her, I said, "How was Ad Astra?" She says, "Long, fell asleep." Rocio, who's her Spanish film critic friend, said, "My shorter version must be better. Some scenes are beautiful. Some article said this movie could have been sublime, but ellipsis."
Wow.
My mom,
so
that's how
shade,
she rates
though.
A film. If she falls asleep, it's a wrap.
Yeah.
And it's weird. Like
all
you
those
can,
movies are too long. Like I think like all of the man space movies, like it's like just cut them down. Why do they?
Just get to it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Get to space.
I just know. Right. Just get to the, cut to the space.
Let's go to fucking space.
The thing that in the Ad Astra thing that looks wild is there's like a fucking full on gunfight on like space rovers, like moon rovers and shit.
Yeah. Like the idea that I think in Ad Astra, it's like there's stuff actually going on.
Right, versus
whatever.
Like
versus
contemplative.
Like, what is like a gravity situation? Like,
right,
okay.
Right.
We're floating.
Yeah, right.
Right. What did you think of Interstellar?
I fell asleep.
Yeah,
great.
I like the idea. The only thing I took away from it was I like the idea of like the multiple dimensions or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Like the Isn't that that one?
I didn't see it because...
That's Interstellar, right?
You didn't see Interstellar?
No, and we talked about this last...
Is that the one with Jessica Chastain? Interstellar?
Yes.
Yeah, okay, right. Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't catch it.
What am I getting it mixed up? There's like another movie like it.
There is.
Which movie?
I can't remember.
Yeah.
There's so many. There's a lot.
I think I like put them. I consolidate them in my head. But yeah, I think I fell asleep. But I think I like the multiple dimensions.
I will see it because the only reason I think I did it, and I said this before, is because it was one of the times Chris Nolan put a film out, and people weren't unanimously like, "Wow, this is really good or worth seeing." People were like, "Well,
yeah."
Some people liked it. Some people didn't. Most people were like, "It's worth seeing. I will see it." I just, you know, most of my time is spent watching 90 Day Fiancé. So
yeah. That's basically how I felt about it.
As good as 90 Day Fiancé.
Yeah.
I mean, 90 Day Fiancé is crazy.
Yeah, it's the greatest. It's the height of entertainment.
Dana, it has been a pleasure having you on the Daily Zeitgeist. Where can people find you, follow you?
You can follow me on Twitter, Dana Donnelly. It's at Dana and then D only. And you can follow me on Instagram at Hottest Dana.
an official title?
Hottest Dana. Well, yeah, it's like I'm the hottest Dana in the world because there's like not that many people named Dana.
There you go.
I'm like saying I'm like hottest Emily Ratajkowski, you know, not a lower bar, or hottest Hannah, you know, hottest Kylie. I'm not, but never claim. Do I do my tweet?
Yeah.
Okay.
What is the tweet?
So my tweet that I've been enjoying is by this girl, Annie, and her handle is at waif, WAIF, and then 0000. And the tweet is, when I say, quote, "I have my own demons to deal with," I mean, my dad yelled at me.
Demons to deal with. That's
great. Miles, where can people find you?
Find me Twitter, Instagram, at Miles of Gray. Tweet I like. Well, first, a shout out to Justin Chen, who gave me my Marco Royce hairdo upon my head accurately.
Look at you.
To show me my dreams when my male pattern baldness has been overcome and I have beautiful soccer player hair.
Mm.
But a tweet I like is actually from Dan White at Dan White. Would like to publicly apologize to Carlson Funeral Home and the entire Thompson family. I didn't realize it was inappropriate to shine my phone flashlight into the casket / roll the body over a little bit. Again, I thought I saw a ladybug in there. I am sorry.
Jess Dweck tweeted, "The hardest part of dating Stephen Miller is finding a restaurant that will let you two sit down and eat your spider egg sacks." Kate Berlant tweeted, "Just called a balloon store and asked if I needed an appointment or if I could just walk in." And you can follow me on Twitter at Jack_O'Brien. You can find us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes. We link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as the song we ride out on. Miles, what are we riding into the week on?
Just chill, head nod.
Chill head nod.
Head nod beats from Devaloop, Devaloop, and it's called Suffer No Fools.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, and it's just, you know, instrumental shit, but just, you know, more like boom bap, you know? Just easy. Yeah. It's Monday. You know what I mean? You're still trying to figure your life out.
That's right.
We don't need to go right into the heavy shit.
All right. Well, The Daily Zeitgeist is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. That's going to do it for today. We will be back tomorrow because it is a daily podcast, and we will talk to you then. Bye.
Right, gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
From BBC Radio 4,
Britain's biggest paranormal podcast, is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at CedarPoint.com.